Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus told of a banquet where a lot of people did not show up. Their excuses did not amuse the banquet host, who then scoured the countryside for people to dine at his table. This parable is a picture of the offer of the gospel to a lost mankind. Today, the story continues. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today we turn again to Luke chapter 14 for more on getting evangelism right.
You know, sometimes we have potluck dinners and somebody says, well, I'll bring this dish and you bring that one and we'll put them all together. Not this one. You don't have to bring anything because the table has been spread, it's been laid, everything that you need is here. Just come. But it's also an urgent invitation because the text says, come, for all things are now ready. If you're going to come, do it soon, because the opportunity will not be endless, it will come to an end. And so the text says, come now, because all things are ready for the feast. Now, because this is a banquet thrown by God, as Jesus was illustrating, what would you and I expect? We'd expect everybody to rush to it and say, absolutely, we're going to be there. If there was ever a time when you'd expect people to be elbowing their way into the banquet room, it would be this time. Surprisingly, that's not what happens. You'll notice that the scripture goes on. Jesus tells the story, verse 16. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house became angry. Look at their excuses, and they were excuses, they were not reasons. I mean, are you kidding me? That somebody is going to buy a field before he even sees it? It's unthinkable. Jesus is talking to shrewd people. Who would do that? Are you telling me that somebody would buy a yoke of oxen, 5 yoke of oxen, in fact, and not even see them? And so he says, I bought them and now I have to go look at them? Reminds me of one of our politicians who says we have to pass the legislation to see what's in it. I mean, are you really telling me that you're going to lay down good money and then after that find out what you bought? I don't think so. When I was looking at this, my father many, many, many years ago bought a horse from a very close friend, and the friend vouched for this horse, a good horse. My dad bought it, and the horse was absolutely worthless. He would not take a harness. He would not pull anything. And eventually, we got rid of the horse. And by the way, the man who did that died not too long ago. Isn't that interesting? That came back to my mind. And he was a good man. But we often wondered, you are our friend. Why did you sell us a horse that you knew was no good? Clearly, this person is not going to do that. Of course he knew what these oxen were like. And then another man says, I'm just newly married. And in the Old Testament, if you were newly married, you were supposed to stay home a year and minister to your wife and get to know each other. Great idea, by the way. You weren't to go to war. That is an actual physical war. I think it was General MacArthur who used to say to his troops, gentlemen, don't even think about marriage until you have mastered the art of warfare. But you were not supposed to go to war, but he could have brought his own wife. There'd have been room for her at the banquet. What's going on here in the text? Fact is, they don't want to go. They think to themselves that they're not as hungry as they may perceive themselves to be. They are eating junk food. They're going through the rituals. They're praying the right prayers. They're attending synagogue. They have long robes. and they can sit there and they can pontificate, and they're very content with themselves. Thank you very much. They had no idea what it was that they were missing. Why is it that people don't come to saving faith in Jesus Christ today? It's excuses. You know, they could have said, we don't want to come to your party, but they didn't say that, so they made excuses. Like a girl I read about, a boy phoned her and said, you know, I'd like to take you out on Friday night. And she said, no. She said, I'm going to have a conflict on Friday night. And as soon as I hang up the phone, she said, I'm going to arrange it. So I hope he got the message. Excuses. One reason is because of fear. People fear their friends, and they think, if I come to saving faith in Christ, what are my friends going to say? Or maybe it's fear even of God, or fear that they have to give up some sins. I mean, they come and they have all these rationalizations, and God says, here is a feast that you can participate in. Now, what happens is the master becomes angry. We don't usually think of God as being angry, but when you read the Old Testament, you discover that God was frequently angry with unbelief. And the great insult that this was, that people would not accept the invitation to his banquet. And so what the man did is, the master of the house said to his servants, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. What powerful, sobering words. So the master says, if these people, if the religious intelligentsia, if they don't come, go out to the highways and the byways. Get the poor and the crippled and the blind. And who are these? Earlier in the text we read that Jesus said these are exactly the kind of people that you should welcome when you have a feast, the people who cannot repay you. So the first characteristic of these people is that they can't repay what it is that God is going to do for them. And you and I can never repay what God is going to do. Salvation had better be free, or you and I simply can't afford it, because there's nothing that we can possibly do to somehow earn it. So here you have, first of all, the fact that they can't repay, and secondly, the reason the master loves to do that is because these are people who least expect an invitation. They don't expect it. And so the master says, not only the blind and the halt and the lame, but also go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. Now we're talking about Gentiles, people that the Jews never dreamed. They never dreamed that Gentiles would be part of the kingdom. And so what Jesus is saying is, you go get them too. Now, you can imagine how this parable was being received by the elite of the religious community in Jerusalem. And you and I may say to ourselves, you know, we can expect the man who sits there and says, blessed are all those who eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. We can expect him to get an invitation. But we can't expect an invitation to the kid who's high on drugs every weekend. When an invitation comes to him, he says to himself, it must be in the wrong box. There's got to be some kind of a mix-up. Surely I'm not invited to this feast. And we don't expect that the woman who perhaps feels very defiled because of some man that she trusted, who used her and then threw her away like one might the peelings of an orange, we wouldn't expect her to be invited, but she is invited. And then we might not expect people, for example, some who are listening today. Maybe there's some man who otherwise looks very, very honorable and very kind and very interested. But the truth is that he has a long rap sheet, and therefore he can't get a job because of his background. We wouldn't expect him to get an invitation, but he gets an invitation. You know, when Jesus said, compel them to come in, that phrase has been misused throughout church history. I'm very sad to have to report that Augustine, that great theologian, used that to justify persecution. We will compel them and we will persecute heretics. We are compelling them to come into the kingdom. Clearly, that's so contrary to the New Testament and contrary to the belief in conscience and contrary to the way in which Jesus even handled himself. But nonetheless, it has been used that way. But the word compel doesn't mean that we coerce them. It means that we have to go out into the highways and the hedges and find them and convince them that the invitation applies to them too. And that's why we should be so glad for the Set Free ministry here at the Moody Church, which works with abused women. That's why we should be so glad that our women's ministry under the leadership of Mary Welchel is spending a great deal of time in terms of finding out how we can help and rescue people from what is called sex trafficking, because these people are in the highways and in the hedges and in the back alleys, and they have an invitation from the King of Kings as well. And we need to tell them that. And that's the message of Moody Church around the world. And you notice the blind and the crippled and so forth, they need to be taken by the hand. And if you've never heard of By the Hand Ministries, the By the Hand Club, I hope that you go to the website and find out about it, a ministry birthed right here that is very dear to our hearts, taking children in Chicago by the hand, helping them, teaching them to read, teaching them the gospel, because the world is broken and the invitation is for those who have experienced the most pain, rejection, and marginalization. What Jesus is saying here is, look, if winners are not willing to accept my invitation into the kingdom, those who perceive themselves as winners, then find some losers and I will make them winners in the kingdom. And I will accept them and I will clothe them and I will bless them, invite them to the feast. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. No matter who you are, no matter where you find yourself today, maybe you find yourself in prison. Maybe you find yourself trying to work out of a moral situation that you got yourself into, an entanglement. No matter where you are, perhaps you have failed miserably. And you say to yourself, can I too be invited to the banquet? The banquet is a banquet of grace, unrelated to our poor performance. And Jesus invites you today to come to him. The invitation is for all, as this parable indicates. And sometimes those who are self-righteous, those who think that they do not need a Savior, they are the ones who bypass this wonderful opportunity. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You will be welcomed into his kingdom. And I will see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer and Getting Evangelism Right, the 8th in a 10-part series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Next time, how best to approach people with the gospel. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.